strengthen them. And Lord, we know that the suicide rate for veterans is so high. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just come alongside them. Lord, the ones that do not know you, we pray, Jesus, that you would open their eyes to your beauty. And Lord, they would call on your name. And Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, those that are suffering in their body, Lord, we ask you to heal them. Lord, those that are troubled emotionally with post-traumatic stress disorder and, Lord, just emotional and trauma from seeing what they've seen and going through what they've gone through, Lord, we thank you that you are the healer, not only of our bodies, but of mind and a heart. And, Lord, we ask your healing, Lord, your love to surround them, and you would bless them. In the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for Mike Travelstead. Lord, you know the issues that he's having. And Father, we pray that you would heal him, that you would comfort him. And Lord, I pray you would reach down today and Lord, just touch his heart, his mind. step away? Am I good? All right. So we're good. Can you hear me? All right. How long have I not been on? But Daniel chapter 5, I just encourage you to read it. And it's in Aramaic, and so I can't translate that. And that's a big part of my sermon prep. So what I've done this week is I've just written it out over and over and over longhand just to get this in my spirit. And that's been such a, I have not done that, you all, in years. And that is such a good practice because I don't memorize, I used to memorize scripture, but I haven't recently. But as I've done that this week, I just was so good. I noticed things that I normally don't notice. So as we go through this, and I'll highlight it when I get there, Daniel's words to Belshazzar are so powerful and so good. And it's ones that I need to get in my spirit, and I just feel like it's good for all of us. But we come to Daniel chapter 5. Nebuchadnezzar's dead. There's probably been about 12 years that have passed. And it says in Daniel chapter 5 that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's father. And in Aramaic, in Hebrew, in the ancient Near East, if you said somebody was your father, that can mean your father. It can also mean your grandfather or your great-grandfather. And the best we can discern about Belshazzar is that he was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And Babylon was at the height of its power. They were incredibly strong, and they were got incredibly arrogant about that. They thought they were undefeatable. They could not be defeated by military means, and they were just very, very strong, very, very proud about that. And it says that Belshazzar has a party. And I want you to think about that for a second. It says he invited 1,000 of his lords. And so does that mean that party was limited to just 1,000? No. If you have 1,000 lords, you're going to have servants. You're going to have women there to revel in. And so this was a huge, massive party. And so you have at least 1,000 people, maybe 2,000 people, and they all decided to start drinking. Is that ever a good idea? No. Are you going to get in trouble if you do that? Yes. And so it says, and the Hebrew language is so subtle, and it's so modest. And as I read this, or this is actually in Aramaic, but these languages are so modest, that it made me smile, because it says that Belshazzar had a drink of the wine. And then he says, he called for the gold that was taken from the temple to be brought in. And I just kind of chuckle at that, because he had been drinking a lot of wine, and he started making very poor decisions. And in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says Nebuchadnezzar, he came down, he took the captives out, and it says that they took the articles from the temple. And so this is what Belshazzar is wanting. He said, go get those gold goblets. Go get those. And so they bring them in. And is that a problem? Yes, it is. Those are consecrated to the Lord, holy vessels to the Lord. And so it says that Belshazzar, his lords, his wives, his concubines, all start drinking out of these golden vessels. And if that's not bad enough, you know what else it says? It says that they start praising the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood. And then in Daniel 5:5, it says there was a hand that appeared on the wall, and it started writing on the wall. Belshazzar's color in his face just went. It says that his limbs grew weak. And the King James Version says that his loins were loosed, which is a very modest way of saying that Belshazzar had an accident in his pants. He made a mess in his pants. Terrifying. Sounding like something out of a horror movie, right? You see, it's a literal hand, and it's writing on the wall, and he is terrified, trembling. And again, modest a purple robe. I will put a gold chain on your neck. I will make you the third greatest in my kingdom if you tell me what this means. And they're confounded. They have no idea. And it's reminiscent of Daniel chapter 1, or Daniel chapter 2. Remember that? When Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and he calls in all the wise men, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and I want you to not only tell me what my dream means, I want you to tell me my dream. And nobody could do it. And they call in Daniel. Well, as they're trying to decide what to do, the queen mother comes into the banquet hall. And she tells Belshazzar, she says, you know what? Your father, Nebuchadnezzar, there was one named Daniel. And the spirit of the gods is in him. There is light that is in him. He has an excellent spirit. He's able to explain riddles. Why don't you call for Daniel? And so Belshazzar calls for Daniel, and Daniel comes in. Verse 13. He says, ah, yeah, you are that Daniel. You're one of the exiles whom the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard of you, that the spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wisdom the enchanters have been brought in to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show me the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and you shall be the third in the kingdom. And then Daniel answered and he says, you keep that. I don't need that. You give that to somebody else. I don't need that. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. Daniel, by this time, is an old man. He's probably about 70 years old. He's been around for a while. And listen to what he says. It's so, this is the part that strikes me. And this is this, I just, it's so, listen to the wisdom of Daniel. He says, verse 18, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up. Whom he would, he humbled. But, verse 20, when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind and his mind was made like that of a beast and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose all of your ways you have not honored. Then from his presence his hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. us. Let it transform us. And we need to honor the holy word of God. The second way that we don't honor God is we don't honor the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. We tend to move Holy Spirit off to the side. We don't want you. We don't need you. We kind of treat him like the weird uncle that kind of we grew up with. You know, we don't kind of want to hold him at a distance. Any of you have a weird uncle? I think we all may have. But just that uncle that you were like, I don't really want anything to do with him. He's kind of weird. We kind of push him over to the side. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, John chapter 16, he said, this is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We need Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one that authored the scriptures. Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in our lives. It's Holy Spirit who gives us gifts, and he empowers us for witness. He gives us power, and he gives us strength, and he's the comforter. And we desperately, desperately need him. And the third way we don't honor the holy things of God is we don't honor other people. Jesus said, he said, on the night that he was betrayed, he said something fascinating, because it wasn't new, but he said, a new command I give you. What was it? Love one another. Love one another. When we don't love one another and we harbor hatred and bitterness in our heart, we don't honor the holy things of God. You are created in his image. Every color, every tribe. Jesus said, I want you to bless your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The hatred that I see in our culture right now, it's incredibly scary and it's incredibly sad. But what grieves my heart even more is the lack of love for believers. We need to love one another. We need to honor one another. I read Romans 14 and 15. I spent a lot of time there in my quiet time this week. I just couldn't get away from it. And in Romans 14 and 15, he's going after the church in Rome, because they're needling each other. They're irritating each other. And they're fighting over food that's sacrificed to idols. They're fighting over food that God has said that's clean. And you've got, so they're arguing, which we do that so much in the church, don't we? We argue, and often we argue about things that don't really matter. And the church in Rome is doing that. And they're irritating each other. The people that ate one thing were thinking, well, we're better than you. And they're needling the people who don't. And then the people who don't, well, thought, you guys are being really, really, really rude. And so they're just arguing. They're just arguing and belittling each other. And Paul says, you all need to stop it. You need to honor each other. You need to love one another. And we need to do that. We read Daniel chapter 5. I read that and I tremble, because it's a warning for all of us. And you look in New Testament times, what is the Spirit of God saying? I think he's saying to all of us, I want you to honor my word. We are not accountable for what we do not know. But what you do know, what you do understand, we need to yield and we need to surrender. We need to yield to Holy Spirit and let him in and not treat him like the weird uncle. Because Jesus died, he's ascended, and he left us his Holy Spirit. We desperately need him. And we need to love one another. It's not summed up any better than Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. He says this. He says, understand that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. Does that sound familiar? Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying the power, have nothing our lack of love and the hatred in our heart. If we would do that, if we would but yield, he would come running. And I believe with all of my heart, he would bring healing to our land. The writer of Hebrews says that just as it appointed for man to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Peter says we've been begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we wait for that and we long for that. We can experience Jesus as our Savior now. We can bow the knee now. We can humble ourselves now. So when he comes, the judge comes to bring vengeance and to humble the arrogant and to do what he did to Belshazzar, to all who will not bow the knee. Those scriptures say every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess to the glory of the Father. We can do that now and experience Jesus' love and his peace and his fullness of his salvation, everything he died to give us, so that when he comes, he will take us up in glory. Will we be ready for him? Will we be ready? Will we bow the knee now so we will not suffer his judgment when he comes? He's coming in great fire. He's coming in great glory. Will we be ready? Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the warnings in your scripture. Lord, you're very, very clear. And Lord, over and over and over and over again, it says God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray right now that you would forgive us for not honoring your holy word. Lord, we haven't honored it. We don't take time to read it. Lord, when we do, we just kind of skirt in and skirt out